If you could turn, please, in the living word of God to the book of Exodus and the chapter 20. The book of Exodus and the chapter 20. We're coming to the fifth commandment this evening, and while we have read this particular passage four times already, in fact maybe five times already because we had an introductory message to this series, yet I trust that as we read it again and again, and that the Lord will take the words and write them upon our mind and write them upon our heart. There are many other passages that could be read that relate to every commandment, but it is my desire at the present just to keep reading this same passage and that the Lord will write these words upon our heart. Exodus chapter 20 in the verse 1, and we read about God speaking. And God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy on the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's. And all the people saw the thunderings, and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 19. Can I again bid everyone a very warm welcome to the service this evening, and when we know the Lord's blessing in every aspect of it. Please do remember that there is the retiring offering for the building fund, this being the second Lord's Day of the month. Tomorrow night, Monday evening, there will be a session meeting at 8 o'clock, so if each of the elders could remember that. And then this Thursday, there will be the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. And as I mentioned this morning, it will take a form of deputation for Let the Bible Speak. This Friday, there will be the Youth Fellowship Party. And the children's party was held last Friday. And again, I want to thank each person who helped with that in preparation for it. And in the undertaking of it, your help is greatly appreciated. And I do want to thank each person who helped out with the children's work, both on the Lord's Day and the Sunday School and Bible class. And then, of course, with the children's meeting on Friday evening over the past term. The Lord has promised that he is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love. And then the Youth Fellowship this Friday are meeting at my house in Marilyn at 7:30. Next Lord's Day, there is the morning service at 11:30 and the evening service at 7 o'clock, both of which are preceded by the half hour of prayer. Just a few extra announcements I want to make. I will not repeat all that was mentioned this morning, but simply just to remind you that there is this little booklet on the table in the foyer, and I would encourage all who are able to fill out this consultation document. It's our opportunity, while abortion is seeking to be imposed upon our land, it is our opportunity to voice in a very practical way our opposition to it. And therefore, I would encourage you to take that little leaflet, read through the various suggestions, and please put in your own words what you believe to be appropriate. There's three different ways in which you can do it, two online and one even by post. And again, there are a number of these prayer cards, various points in which we can pray for our land, for the glory of God, and to pray for our own hearts. And I'd encourage you to take them as well. There are a good number of these left, as well as the little booklets. So if you would like to take one, please feel free to do so. And if you'd like to take some others and pass them on to people that you know would be interested, please feel free to do that. I may also just mention that Consider Christ, their little bookmarks, have just been brought out for the year 2020. And if you want to take some of them, they're again on the foyer on the table. But that's all the announcements I want to make at this stage, apart from just to mention that Reverend David Smith's father, Woolsey Smith, who was an elder in our Bethany congregation, Portadown for many years, Mr. Smith, Woolsey Smith, unfortunately passed away. And the funeral service will be tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 in our Portadown congregation. And I know that our brother, Reverend David Smith, and indeed his family would greatly appreciate it if you're able to remember them in prayer at this time. If you could turn, please, again, your hymn books, this time to hymn 378. Hymn 378. Once my way was dark and dreary, for my heart was full of sin, but the sky is bright and cheery since the fullness of his love came in. I can never tell how much I love him. I can never tell his love for me, for it passeth human measure like a deep, unfathomed sea. And if you remain seated for the commencement of the hymn while the offering and tithes are collected, please. Hymn 378. Let's stand for the third verse and chorus, please. Thank you. May you and I get a glimpse this evening of that deep, unfathomed sea of God's love. If you could turn again, please, in the living word of God to the book of Exodus, to chapter 20. We will read just one verse again. Book of Exodus and the chapter 20. And it is the fifth commandment we're coming to this evening. Book of Exodus in chapter 20, and it is the verse 12. And let's read it together. The Lord declares, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Let's again bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord if he would be pleased to come and to speak to every one of us this evening. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for the promises of Scripture, that if we seek thee with all our heart, we shall find thee. And Father, I want to thank thee again that the psalmist declares to us that thy blessing is upon thy people. And Father, I want to thank that Jesus Christ is one who prays that we would be set apart more and more unto him through thy precious word. Thank thee, Father, for what we looked at this morning, that it is thy desire to perfect, to mature thy children, to make them more and more like Christ. And Lord, the only way that that will ever happen is if they see Christ, who first loved them. And Father, I pray that that would be the case this evening. And Lord, I thank thee also that it is thy desire to build the church and the people of thy beloved Son. Lord, those for whom he has shed his precious blood. And I pray this evening, if there are those gathered in, Lord, who are not yet saved, perhaps, Lord, I would think, and many others would think, that they're saved already, but Lord, thou art the one who knows their very heart. And Lord, I pray this evening that they would not leave the meeting without getting right with God. Lord, without being reconciled to him, without having their sins forgiven. And Lord, knowing that peace and that joy that passes all understanding. Father, we cry that thou wouldst come and give them a heart of love for Christ. Lord, who has first loved us, we pray these things in Jesus' name, asking now, Lord, that thou wouldst bring to my mind, bring to my remembrance all that thou wouldst have me to say. And Lord, give me the heart with which to say it. Lord, I cannot create an anxious thought, but Father, I thank thee that while the natural man understandeth not the things of God, for their foolishness to him, yet the Spirit is one who reveals them to us. Father, come, by thy Spirit reveal thy precious word, and may tonight be a truly hallowed night. Lord, may tonight be a night where thou dost come down in a very real and special way. A night, Father, even in thy will that we will look back on in years to come. Lord, never thou didst speak to us, never thou didst reveal thy holiness, but also thy love. Come, speak to us, we pray, and change us for eternity. In Jesus' name we ask these things, for thy glory alone. Amen. In 1871, Thomas Edison, the famous inventor, improved a former means of recording the movement of stock on the stock exchange. And when the Western Union Company asked Thomas Edison to name his price for his stock ticker, we read that Edison asked for a few days to think about it. He wanted to try and work out what his price would actually be. And speaking with his wife turned around and said, "Well, you should ask for $20,000. Edison never thought that was a bit too much. And whenever the time came for the meeting, the few days were over, and Thomas Edison had to give his price and name his price to the Western Union Company who wanted to buy his invention. The Western Union official asked Thomas Edison, "So what's your price?" And Thomas Edison wanted to say $20,000, but he just couldn't get the words out of his mouth. And the Western Union representative couldn't handle the hesitation. He couldn't handle the silence. He and his company so greatly wanted this invention that, not waiting for Thomas Edison to speak, he burst out and he said, "Well, will you take $100,000 for it?" I don't know what Mr. Thomas Edison said, but I'm sure he said, "No bother. I'll take it all right." Thomas Edison had the stock ticker in his hand, but he greatly underestimated it. Greatly underestimated its value. Greatly underestimated its benefit. Greatly underestimated how it would change lives. It would have great impact.
Not merely for his own generation, but up to 90 years later, it would still be used, and be used not merely in the stock exchange, but in a variety of other spheres of life.
Thomas Edison greatly underestimated what he had in his own hand. And personally, I have to confess that coming to the Ten Commandments, and as I studied them afresh, even for the series that we're looking at on the Lord's Day evenings, I have greatly underestimated these Ten Commandments. And I wonder if you can testify to the same, that you and I have underestimated the seriousness of these commandments. So often we can just think that they are guidelines, that they are just suggestions, that they're good advice, advice that we should follow. But yet we have realized again and again, it is not advice, it is not a suggestion, it is a command. You and I have seen again and again God's authority. He says, thou shalt not. Not you may not. No, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. You shall not make unto thee any graven images. You shall not take my name in vain. There are no options here. There's no black and white here, or indeed grey areas here. It is very clear, you shall not. God's authority is not merely stated, but it is shown. And there the context, as we read in verse 19 of Exodus 20, the people are filled with fear and they tremble because they see the authority of God in the thunder. They see the authority of God in the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And they remove themselves and they say to Moses, oh Moses, you speak with us, but do not let God speak with us because we will die if God speaks with us. You see, the commandments, they terrify. But notice also that you and I can, while we can underestimate the seriousness of these commandments, you and I can underestimate the consequences of these commandments. Because these commandments don't merely terrify, but they condemn. The wages of one sin, men and women and young people, the wages of one sin is death, eternal death. The result of breaking one of these commandments, it is death, eternal death. Now we underestimated the purity of Christ seen in these commandments, because he is the one who came to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. While you and I may see ourselves falling again and again and again of God's perfect glory and standard in these commandments, yet Christ, the one who fulfilled every ounce of it to the every nth degree, infinitely perfect. His purity, how Christ is set apart. Let us not have pure views of Christ. Let us not have low views of Christ. Let us see him who is pure, pure, pure. Have you and I underestimated the love of Christ? Because while he is pure, 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 yet he commended his love toward us, and he is the one who came and to die in our place for us who are sinful. Men, women, and young people, this evening, I want you and I to look at this fifth commandment. And I do not want you and I to underestimate the seriousness of it, but to see how accurately, how serious these commandments are. I want you now to see accurately the consequence of these commandments, the purity of Christ in these commandments, the love of Christ in these commandments, the salvation, the forgiveness in these commandments. We sang that hymn, and I can never tell his love for me, for it passeth human measure like a deep unfathomed sea. 'Tis redeeming love in Christ my Savior. In my soul the heavenly joys begin, and I live for Jesus only, since the fullness of his love came in. I want you now to see more and more of the fullness of Christ's love to us, that we will live for Jesus only. And the first thing I want you now to see regarding this fifth commandment, whereby we read in verse 12 that we are to honor our father and our mother, you and I note, first of all, the seriousness of this commandment. Oh yes, we can on occasion think that some of the commandments are serious. Thou shalt not murder, that's serious. Thou shalt not commit adultery, that's serious. Even worshipping other gods, that's serious. But surely being a little bit disobedient to your parents, surely that's not serious. At the end of the day, many believe that a wee bit of rebellion is a bit part and parcel of being a child. A wee bit of rebellion, someone even goes so far to say, as it's good for a child. Let them stretch their legs, let them stretch their wings and fly out a little bit. A little bit of rebellion is good, they would say. Surely this commandment's not that serious. If you turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy in the chapter 21. Book of Deuteronomy, in the chapter 21, because you and I must always look at things from God's perspective. If we want to know whether something is serious or whether it's not serious, if you want an eye to see whether something is significant or insignificant, whether something has grave consequence or whether it does not, we must always go to God's word. Not man's ideas, not man's ideologies, but go to God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 21, in the verse 18, we read, God's law, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, that is, there's no repentance, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of the city, and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die, so shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. You see, God wants you and I to see that even this fifth commandment, that it's serious. Perhaps you turn and say, well, that's maybe the Old Testament. That's not what Christ would say in the New Testament. Will you look with me, please, at the book of Matthew? The book of Matthew in chapter 15. And let us hear what Christ himself said. The one who is loving. The one who is wise. The one who is gracious. Let us see what he said in Matthew chapter 15. Verse 4. Jesus Christ speaking to the Pharisees declares, for God commanded, saying, honour thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Jesus Christ confirms what's declared in the fifth commandment. He confirms what's declared in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Again, I want you to see the reality of Romans chapter 6, 23, that the wages of one sin is death. The wages of the breaking of the fifth commandment is death. Of dishonoring your father and your mother. It should result in death. What is that death? It's not merely physical death, but is eternal death. Almost every morning, I take a bit of time and I contemplate what it would be for me to be sent to hell later that day. What it would be that if there was no such thing as Christ coming to this earth to save me, to die on the cross and shed his blood for me, if there's no such thing as salvation, what it would be for me to be cast into the outer darkness? What would it be for me to be cast into that place filled with fire and brimstone where there's no escape, no end to it? While I cannot comprehend the pain and the anguish that it would be, you're getting a small glimpse of that. Of where there's no escape, where there's no end to it, for all eternity being there, I am filled with a thankfulness that there is such a thing as a Savior who came to live for me and to die for me. Men and women and young people, I want you and I to see that this commandment is serious that we look at this evening. Whenever you and I look at examples of it and various applications of it, I want you and I to see that every single one of these applications is serious. Serious. If we do not have Christ paying the debt for our sins, we deserve eternal damnation, and we will receive it. But because Christ has come, he's paid the debt for our sins. And if you're not saved this evening, you can be forgiven. And if you are saved, let us be thrilled with Christ and filled with love for him, because he died to pay the debt even for this fifth commandment. Notice with me, secondly, not merely the seriousness of this commandment, but notice with me the scope of this commandment. And I want to look at two things within it. I want you and I to look at who this commandment involves and what this commandment involves. Notice with me, first of all, then, regarding the scope of this commandment, who this commandment involves. For many years, I thought this commandment referred only to a person's mum and a person's dad, that a child is to honour their biological father and mother. And that alone, that's all it referred to. That was the extent of the scope. However, upon study, I began to realize, comparing Scripture with Scripture, as is stated in the larger catechism, that those who are our father and our mother refers more than to our biological parents. Because if you and I want to understand the Ten Commandments, they are the ten principles, they are the ten stones, as it were, of God's law throughout the entirety of Scripture. Every other command, as I understand it, can be brought into these Ten Commandments. And if you and I therefore want to understand any of these Ten Commandments, we must not merely look at Exodus 20, we must look at the breadth of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, because they expand, they clarify, they explain what these commandments mean.
Whenever we looked at the third commandment, whereby we're told we're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. The name does not simply refer to the title. It refers to a person's works. It refers to a person's authority. It refers to a person's characteristics. Scripture explains all of that. And if you and I want to see what it means to honor our father and our mother, and indeed also then what it means to dishonor our father and mother, we must look at how Scripture uses these very terms, father and mother. We must look to see who this commandment involves. So let me mention them to you. First of all, it does refer to biological parents. These terms, father and mother, are used again and again in Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament. I could take you to genealogies where we read it, and so-and-so was the father of so-and-so, and so-and-so was the father of so-and-so, and so-and-so was the father of so-and-so. And there we see very clearly that the term father that's used here in the Hebrews are used in Scripture and God's Word to refer to a biological parent. The same for mother. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 2, the Apostle Paul very clearly declares, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he goes on to say, honor my father and my mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So it does refer to biological parents. But notice with me, it also refers to spiritual parents. In 2 Kings chapter 2, in the verse 12, when Elijah, the prophet and the spiritual leader of Israel, was being taken by a whirlwind up into heaven, Elisha cried this. And some of you will know the words. Elisha cried regarding Elijah, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Elisha called Elijah his father, not because Elijah was his biological father, but because he was a spiritual father. He was a spiritual leader to him. And that's what the term father also applies to, spiritual leaders. Many other examples could be given. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14, after Elijah had died, Elisha became the spiritual leader, the prophet in Israel. And whenever Elisha was dying, we read of how King Joash called Elisha, my father, not a biological father, but a spiritual father. He was a spiritual leader, never the spiritual father. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the Apostle John calls his disciples, those whom God had given him responsibility over, my little children. The Apostle John considered himself to be a father, a spiritual leader, to those whom he had authority over. So father refers not simply to those who are your biological parents, but it refers to spiritual leaders, spiritual parents. Notice with me, it also refers to managerial parents, those within the workplace, or those within your place of occupation, whether your time is occupied in study or it is in employment. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 13, many of you will know the story, how Naaman was a leper, and on his way to see Elisha the prophet, before meeting Elisha, or indeed upon meeting Elisha, Naaman was downcast, because Elisha turned around and said to Naaman that he was to go and dip himself seven times in the River Jordan. Naaman didn't want to do that. But whenever we read of Naaman's servants, those who were underneath Naaman's employment, he was their employer, they were his servants. We read that they come to Naaman, and they use this phrase, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How does Scripture use this term, father, to those who are your employer, those who are your managers, those who are your bosses, those who look after you within that sphere? The same can be applied to teachers in schools. Notice that there's more application. National parents. Turn to me, please, to Isaiah 49. Isaiah chapter 49. And here the Lord is speaking, Isaiah 49, verse 23. And these are the words of God. Isaiah 49, verse 23. And the Lord says, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. God, in giving commandment in Exodus chapter 20, goes on to declare to you and I that those who are our father and those who are our mother are not just our biological parents. It's also those who have in government, those who within the nation are leaders. But let me go on, there's more. There are those who are our chronological parents, those who are older than us. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul declares to Timothy, rebuke not an elder, referring here to one who is older than you. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And he goes on to say, entreat the elder women as mothers. Those who are older than us. Many of you were taught, indeed as I was taught, whenever you're younger, to respect your elders, respect who's older than you. That is a biblical principle. To honor those who are older than you. To see them as a father and to see them as a mother. There's more. There's not merely our chronological parents and national parents and managerial parents and spiritual parents and biological parents, but there are skillful parents. Skillful parents. If you turn to me, please, the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis in the chapter 4. This is not something I've made up, by the way, all these applications. This is something that whenever the larger catechism, the shorter catechism was being written up, every single one of these categories was considered by those men of God to be part of the fifth commandment. Genesis chapter 4, verse 19. We read, "And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other, Zilhah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Jubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Jubal-Cain was Naamah." We read again the term father. The father here refers to these particular men who were given a particular gift, a particular skill, a particular talent in an area. Jabal was given the skill of farming, able to keep and to manage cattle. Jubal was given the skill and the talent of music. Jubal-Cain was given the skill of working with metal, a blacksmith, as it were. God had given these gifts to these particular men, and they were declared to be fathers of them. And therefore, those who wanted to learn about farming, if Jabal, the father of farming, was to come and to give them advice, they were to listen to that, because God had given them clear wisdom and clear instruction on how to do these things. The same with music, the same with working with metal. These men were fathers, skilled. They excelled in these areas, and people were to listen to them. It would be very foolish if Jubal, the musician, wanted to learn how to look after cattle a little bit better, and Jabal came and told him how to do it, and he didn't listen. That would be foolish. That would be denying the wisdom that God had very clearly given to one other person. But notice one last one. One last father that we have. And of course, he's the greatest father. It's God. The foundational parent. The foundational parent. In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, we read, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." That phrase repeated over 10 times in Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, "After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Luke chapter 11, verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Who does this commandment involve? Who are you and I to honor? We're to honor those who are our biological parents. You and I are to honor those in our employment, our managerial parents. You and I are to honor those in spiritual leadership over us. You and I are to honor those who are more skilled than us in certain areas. You and I are to honor those who are in government. You and I are to honor those who are older than us. You and I, above all, are to honor God. And if God gives you and I a command as our foundational father, if anybody else contradicts what he says, we are to disregard what they say, and we're to always honor our foundational father. Honor God. Because nothing that he ever commands will ever contradict what he commands. We've seen who this commandment involves, but notice with me what this commandment involves. We're to honor these various groups of people. But what does it mean to honor? Well, let me say that this commandment involves two particular aspects. First of all, children are to honor their parents, those in authority over them, in all these various categories. But there is another aspect. Those who are in these various categories, those who are spiritual leaders, those who are older in life, those who are in government, they are to be honorable. That's what this commandment entails. Not merely that those underneath authority are to honor those in authority, but those who are in authority are to be honorable. Honorable. And if they're not honorable, then they break this commandment. They break this commandment. Notice with me, first of all, regarding what this commandment involves. Children. those under authority are to honour those in authority over them.
Now, this will apply to every single person this evening. We may or may not have our biological parents still living, but this commandment applies to every single one here, because we all have some form of spiritual oversight over us. Even the elders in the session, myself as minister, have a spiritual oversight. There's presbytery. We all have someone over us in regards to authority in the government. We all have those who are more skillful than us in certain areas. And we all have God foundationally as our creator. This commandment applies to every single one this evening. We're all children in these senses. So let us ask the question, what does it mean to honour? I've mentioned this before on a couple of other occasions in the prayer meeting and perhaps in the Lord's Day, but let me just refresh your memory. The word honour comes from a root verb, Hebrew verb, meaning to be heavy. To be heavy. Whenever I first realized that, I couldn't understand what this word meant. Oh, does it mean that we're to feed those in authority over us with lots and lots of food and make them really heavy? That's not what this command, that's not what it means. To make something heavy is to give that particular person, that particular object, influence on your life. Imagine you have some soft wax, and someone was to come like a king with his authority, and he was to take his ring and put it down the soft wax. He would impress it. He would influence it. He would mold it. He would change it. And that's the lesson here. We are to honour those in authority over us, that they would impress us. They would change us. They would influence us. They would mold us. We'll not be rebellious. We're to be like soft wax, not hard wax. This will be seen in various ways. Let me mention them to you. You and I are to give influence, first and foremost, by being obedient. Remember Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And as someone in authority over us, and here's the application coming to you and me now, as someone in authority over us gives us a command that does not contradict our foundational father's command, you and I are to obey it. We are to obey it. And if we do not obey it, we break this fifth commandment. Let me ask you, whenever the government commands you and I to obey the speed limit, some of you can laugh and think, so what if I break the speed limit? It can be cool to break the speed limit. But if God has given an authority, which he has, and has ordained them in the position that they have, for me to break that speed limit and for you is to break this fifth commandment. And it is a sin. A sin. In every day of life, of course, there may be exceptional circumstances. Somebody has to be rushed to the hospital. But in every other day of life, we are to obey those in authority over us. That's not a suggestion. That's not advice. This is a command. Obey. What about whenever the command from the government comes that we're not to litter? Sure, what does it matter if I chuck something out the window on the way down the road? What does it matter if I throw something on the street whenever I come out of school? What does it matter? You and I are breaking a command of God. Whenever it comes to the home, whenever a mother and a father comes and maybe tells us, for those who are younger, and I think back to my time when I was younger living at home, and perhaps if you're older you think back to your time, and your mum and your dad came and spoke to you to keep your room tidy, and you never bothered. That is a sin. Why? Because you're not honouring the authority that God has given. You're not obeying. You're not obeying. What about whenever they ask you to help out in the house, and never bothered? You and I are not obeying. Not obeying this commandment. What about whenever it comes to church? And maybe an elder comes along and speaks to you and encourages you to come to the prayer meeting. And you're able to attend the prayer meeting, but you never bother. You're not honouring the command, the authority that God has given. Whenever it comes to school, maybe someone goes and they don't wear their uniform correctly. They don't have their tie up. They don't have their shirt tucked in. Whatever it may be. You're breaking the authority that God has placed over you. Can you and I begin to count back the amount of times that you and I have not obeyed those in authority over us? Can you begin to count whenever you were younger in your own home? Can you begin to count the amount of times in school? Can you begin to count the amount of times you and I have broken the speed limit and dishonored those in authority over us whenever it comes to the government?
What about life? Whenever someone older than us came along and turned around and gave us some words of wisdom from their years of experience, and they said, you know, you're to work hard in school, and you're to listen to your teacher, and you're to listen to your mother. And yet you and I, whenever we went home, we just disregarded everything that they said. We did not honor those who were chronologically older than us. We did not respect our elders. What about whenever God himself comes? Whenever it comes to the Lord's Day message, and God, through his precious word, he gives you and I a command. And you and I are convicted in our own heart that this is God's will. And we're touched, we think we should do that. But you and I go out of God's house, and we forget all about it. We forget all about what God said. We never implement it. We never change our lives. We never repent of our sin. You and I are dishonoring God. Dishonoring God because we're not obeying him. And men and women, for you and I who are saved, Christ had to pay the equivalent of hell forever, for every single time we did that. Every single time we dishonored those in school. Every time we dishonored someone older than us. Every time we dishonored those in government. Every single time. Do you and I begin to see the seriousness of this commandment? Do you and I begin to see the consequence of this commandment? And if you're not saved tonight, the sin that lies in your head, that if you die without Christ, you will suffer the equivalent of hell, indeed hell forever, for every single moment. You fail to honor those in authority over you. But I want you to see the love of Christ tonight, because he offers to cleanse you from every single sin. Every single sin. And child of God tonight, may you and I rejoice in Christ, because in love for us, he paid the debt for every single sin. Every one of them. And we're washed as white as snow. We're to be honoring those in authority over us by being obedient. And perhaps someone turns around and says, well, what about if those in government, or what about if someone who is my boss and their employer, what if they're a nasty old piece of work? What if they're a wicked person? What if they're an ungodly person? Surely I don't need to obey them. We turn to me, please, the book of Romans. Book of Romans, the chapter 13. Because you and I are to obey this commandment without prejudice. Without prejudice. Oh yes, if they give a wicked command, an ungodly command, something that contradicts God's word, you're not to obey it. But what if they give a command that doesn't contradict? No matter if they're wicked, no matter if they're ungodly, no matter if they're evil, you and I are still to obey it. Romans chapter 13. The context is, the Apostle Paul is writing to those in Rome. He's writing during the time of the reign of Emperor Nero, one of the most evil men in history. Nero murdered his own brother, his own wife, his own mother, and other members of his own family. Bad enough for someone to murder one in his own family. He murdered many of his own family just so that he'd become the sole emperor and no one would make a claim to his throne while he was there. Later on in his life, even while Paul was writing the book of Romans, Nero was known for crucifying Christians in wooden posts, making human torches out of them. And yet what does the Apostle Paul say in Romans chapter 13? To those who are in Rome, to the Romans, he says in verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be, those in authority that be, they are ordained of God. While you and I are not to be subject to their wickedness and to their evil, yet we are to be subject to their authority. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, whoever resisteth the authority, resisteth the ordinance, and indeed resisteth God. Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Every authority, as we've looked at in the various categories, it's all from God. He is the one who has ordained it. And you and I are to honor them. We are to honor them by obeying them. But there's more than that. You and I are to honor them by imitating them. The Apostle Paul, who was a spiritual leader to those at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 17, he says to them, brethren, be followers. That's a command. Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us. We are your spiritual leaders. Have us for an ensample. We are a mold that ye are to follow. And indeed, as we follow Christ, that is. Remember, as long as it's an agreement to God's word. You follow us as we follow Christ. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say that while we are to imitate a godly example, we are not to imitate an ungodly example.
He goes on to say in the next verse, "For many walk with him, I have told you often, now I tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, whose end is destruction." You know, to imitate those in authority over us, any godly characteristic, we are to imitate it. But we're not to imitate anything that's not godly. I speak to myself here, and I speak to you. Whenever you and I see a godly virtue of gentleness in someone who's older, do we imitate it? We are to. Whenever you and I see a godly virtue, a sacrificial love in a parent, do we imitate it? Whenever you and I see the godly virtue of wisdom, maybe in an elder, do we imitate it? Whenever we see the godly virtue of hard work, perhaps, in a school teacher or an employer, do we imitate it? Or can it be said of you and I that we imitate the ungodly examples? We imitate the swearing tongue. We imitate the quick temper. We imitate the false belief. We imitate promises that are broken by others. We imitate that which is ungodly. We think, well, they did it. I can do it too. You and I are to honour those in authority over us by imitating everything that's godly and right. And if you and I imitate anything that's not, by our attitude, our perspective, we dishonour. We dishonour God. We and I are to honour, give influence, give weight, be soft wax, as it were, by obeying those in authority over us, by imitating those in authority over us, but thirdly, by highly valuing those in authority over us. You and I have looked at the Greek word, or the Hebrew word for honour. What about the Greek word? In Luke chapter 18, verse 20, whenever Jesus Christ repeats the fifth commandment, he says, "Honour thy father and thy mother." He uses a Greek term for honour. And that Greek term means to respect, to revere, or indeed to prize greatly, to treasure them. To treasure them. That valuing comes in the form of respect. We are to respect them and their position of authority. Can I ask you this evening, as I speak to myself here, how many times have you and I perhaps been annoyed with someone in authority over us, maybe a mum, a dad, maybe a school teacher, and we wished that they weren't over us? We wished they weren't. Is that respecting them? No, it's not. What about the times that we were cheeky? Cheeky to your parents, cheeky to your bosses, cheeky to somebody who's older than us, or being sarcastic in a rude way. What about the times we made jokes about them and run them down? What are the times when we cursed their name? What about the times we wished something evil would happen to them? That is not respecting those in authority over us. And every time we thought it, and every time we wished it, every time we dwelt upon it, we have broken this commandment. Can you count up the amount of thoughts you've had of disrespect to those in authority over you? I can't. The seriousness of this commandment, the consequence of this commandment, but the love of Christ in this commandment, because he came to pay the debt for it. Valuing those who are in authority over us, our father and our mother, is not merely seen in the form of respect, but it's seen in the form of support. You see, you and I are to pray for those in authority over us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, well-known words, the Apostle Paul says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings," and listen, what comes next? "For all that are in authority, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God." Let me ask you, when was the last time you prayed for those in authority over you? When was the last time you prayed for your school teachers, young people? When was the last time you prayed for your employer, those who are working? When was the last time you prayed for those in government? When was the last time you prayed for those in authority over you? When was the last time you supported them by prayer, praying that God would bless them, make them to be a blessing? Is it not so often that whenever we pray, "Lord, get rid of them. Get rid of them." No, we are to support. Not the ungodliness, but we're to respect the position and we're to support the position. And if someone in authority is not doing what's right, well, we don't accept that and we're to pray that God would change that, yet we are to respect those who are still in authority. And we're to pray for them that God would change them. Think about David. David had an ungodly king. He had Saul. Saul hated David.
Saul maligned David. Saul attacked David. Saul hunted David.
But whenever David had the opportunity to remove Saul, what did he do? He said, "This is God's anointed.
This is God's chosen.
And I dare not touch him. I respect him and I support him. Not in the evil he does. No. But in the position that he has." And what was the result of it? Whenever that happened, Saul was humbled and he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." Obeying this commandment can be a great witness to those around. We are to be long-suffering. That's another way of valuing them. We are to be long-suffering towards them. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ asked, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is the small little bit of wood, the little chipping? Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thine eye? Why do you overlook your own faults?" The small mote that is in the brother's eye. "But you consider not the beam, the large wooden stick that is in thine own eye. Why do you now not to overlook faults and overlook errors? Yet you now are to be long-suffering with those in authority over us. We are to be patient with them, particularly if they're striving to repent and do what's right. We are to be long-suffering. You and I have seen that those underneath authority are to honour those in authority over them. But how? Yes, obeying. Yes, imitating godliness. And yes, valuing them and respecting them and treasuring them and supporting them. But I would do it half-heartedly. Will you turn to me, please, to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul talks about those underneath authority and how they are to serve those in authority. And the same principle applies to you and I this evening. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul declares, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with thy service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." How are you and I to honour? Well, yes, we're to obey them, we are to respect them, we are to support them, we are to pray for them. You and I are to obey them. Yes, that's what we are to do, but how are we to do it? Well, note, you and I are to do it in singleness of heart. Willingly, that is. Wholeheartedly, that is. Not a divided heart. Not half a heart. Single-heartedly. Note that you and I are to do it with goodwill. We're to do it in good for the person. We're to do it from the heart. Not spitefully. Not with an evil temper. Not with an evil attitude. Not hoping something evil comes upon them. But in Matthew 22, verse 39, Christ says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself." We'll do it with goodwill. We'll do it contentedly. Maybe you have somebody in authority over you in the workplace or in school or in government and you wish they were not there. Whenever you and I looked at the third commandment, how you and I are not to take the name of God in vain, not merely his titles, not merely his characteristics of goodness and gentleness and grace and love, not merely his authority, but what he does, his works. If you and I take in vain the providence of God, you and I blaspheme the name of Christ. You may not like the person who is in authority over you, but you are to love them, and you are to obey them, and you are to respect them, and you are to pray for them, and I am to do the same. Be done contentedly. Done lawfully, of course. Because you and I only do that which, as I've mentioned, is agreement to God's word. Whenever Absalom arose up against David, his father, Absalom wanted the children of Israel to follow him. The children of Israel were not to follow Absalom because he was not the right king. And that would have been a contradiction to God's word. You and I are only to obey those in authority over us and influence and imitate them, be influenced by them, etc., in a lawful manner. And it's all to be done for the glory of God. Not men pleasers. Don't just do it so you may be honored and praised by them. You're to do it to honor Christ. Can I ask you, every time you were obedient to your parents, did you do it so you didn't get punished?
Every time you were good in school and you behaved and you worked hard, was it so that you'd get praise from your head teacher or praise from your teacher? Or did you do it for the glory of God? Because if we do not do it for the glory of God, you and I fail, because we're told whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And if you and I do not do it in love for God with all our heart, soul, strength and mind, then we fail every command. And whenever I look at myself, there's never been a moment in my life where I have kept that fifth commandment perfectly. Oh, I may strive to love God. I may strive to obey God. I may strive to please Christ and not men, but the result is that I am still imperfect. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, the good that I would do, I don't do, because I'm still a sinner. And if you're not saved this evening, I want you now to see not merely the seriousness of this commandment, as we've noted, but as we've looked at more of it, I want you now to see the consequences of this commandment. Because if you die without Christ tonight, if you were to have an accident on the way home tonight, if you were to have a heart attack on the way home tonight, I hope you don't, but if you were, you'd be suffering God's wrath poured out upon you for every single time you broke the fifth commandment, every moment, that you did not do all to His glory. And yet, tonight, there's forgiveness. You may say, well, why would God ever forgive me? I sinned against Him. I've not honored Him. I've not lived for His glory. I tell you why. Because God is gracious. And He so loved the world. He loves you tonight that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever tonight believeth in Him, that you'll not perish, but that you'll have right here, right now, everlasting and abundant life. And for us who have it, let us praise God for it. Let us praise God for it. And let us live for God in thankfulness that we have salvation. Let me just conclude briefly. You and I have seen that those underneath authority are to honour those in authority. But as I said, there is another perspective. Those who are in authority. And perhaps there's many here that this applies to in a greater way than the former. Because there's many here older. There's many here who perhaps have a position in the workplace, or a position in schools, or a position in the home. And you are in authority over others. You and I are to be honourable. Honourable. What is a parent to be? How are you honourable? Well, you are to educate. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, that is the teaching, and the admonition, the discipline of the Lord. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 19 to 21, that the Lord gave the command that ye shall teach your children. Speaking of God's law, whenever they sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when they lie down, when they rise up, you're right in the doorpost of your house, upon the gates, you are to teach them God's law, you are to educate them. You and I are to tell the truth. To tell the truth. That means that you and I are to know the truth. How many times have you and I speak to myself, said something that was not right? We have not been honourable. You say, well, I was sincere in it. Sincerity doesn't cut it. You've got to be sincere and accurate. A Muslim may be sincere, but they don't honor God because they're wrong. Those in authority, if you're going to be honorable, you must educate. You must be an example. The Apostle Paul declared, be ye followers of me. As your spiritual father, be ye followers of me, as I am also of Christ. Are you and I godly examples to those underneath us? Are you and I godly examples of love? Love for God above everything else? Will we put Him first? Above family? Above hobbies? Do we put Him first? Are you and I an example of joy? Or are we often miserable? Joy in God. Are you and I examples of peace? Trust in God even if our circumstances are difficult. Are you and I examples of long-suffering and not a temper? You and I examples of purity and not a wicked tongue. Are you and I examples of cleanness and not telling dirty jokes? Are you and I examples of wisdom, of gentleness, not harshness? Because if you and I fail in any one of these ways, we break this fifth commandment, and you and I deserve hell for every moment we've broken it. But praise God this evening. Christ died not merely to forgive us. He died to change us. And maybe your heart's desire, as you see the love of Christ to you, paying the debt for every one of your sins, you say, Lord, I want to live for you. Lord, I want to know the truth, and Lord, I want to do the truth. And Lord, I don't want to dishonor you anymore. I don't want to break your commandment anymore. Lord, I want to live for you. I want to honor you. I want to be honorable. Christ died to do that. Christ shed his blood to purify you. Christ shed his precious blood to conform you into his image, who is honorable. Christ died to do it. Be encouraged tonight. You can live for Christ and honor Christ and be honorable in this world and be a witness and be a shining light to those around. Those in authority to be honorable by being an educator, by being an example, and by being an encourager. You're to pray for those underneath you. And so am I. We're to praise those underneath us whenever they do right. Commend them. Whenever they do wrong, tell them. We are to be an encouragement towards good. Many examples in Scripture whereby people in authority were not an encouragement towards good, they were an encouragement towards evil. You think of the Sanhedrin. They whipped those who loved God. And they crucified Christ. They were an example of evil. What about Nebuchadnezzar? Weren't they Darius? And those underneath? They were meant to be leaders, and yet they put Daniel in the lion's den for loving God. You and I are to be encouragers, praising people whenever they do what's right. Not neglecting that, praising them and telling them whenever they do wrong. And again, we are to do it lovingly. We're to do it with our heart. We're to do it gently, because we read in the book of Isaiah, as well as other places, sorry, Numbers chapter 11, where the Lord commands Moses, those whom he has authority over to carry them in his bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, gently, lovingly, carefully, diligently. That's how we're to do it. Perhaps you, as I finish this evening, perhaps you say, well, I never asked for the responsibility. I never asked to be in a position of authority. Well, you listen to the words of Romans chapter 9, verse 20. O man, or indeed a woman, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? And James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It is a privilege and it is an honor to be an authority over others. But it is a responsibility. We can honor God in a greater way because we have a greater opportunity. May we cry to Christ with faith in it. Be faithful. Have we not seen tonight how great his love for us is? How many times have we sinned? How many times do we deserve hell over? And yet Christ came to pay the debt for our sins. Is he not worth all? Is he not worth your heart? Is he not worth your life? Is it not worth you striving to honor him in the morning time, in the afternoon, in the evening? At all times, to honor him, to please him, to love him, to live for him. Is he not worthy of it? Has he not loved us like that? May you and I cry to Christ tonight for forgiveness where we need to be forgiven. And praise God for the cleansing blood. And may we cry to Christ that he'll change us. It will be honorable. And we'll honor those in authority over us. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help me and everyone here this evening to realize we must make a decision tonight. We must make a decision whether we will receive thy precious word or whether we will not. Whether we will go home and study thy word for ourselves and, as John tells us, to test the spirits to see whether they are of God. What has been said tonight, whether it is indeed from God or whether it's not. And I pray, Father, that you would give every one of us grace to see the seriousness of sin. Lord, it's not a light thing. But Lord, to see the consequences of sin. But to praise thee for the love of Christ in salvation. And Father, give us all grace that we will not merely receive Christ, but we will love him. And Lord, we will strive and make the decision afresh this evening to surrender all to him. For he's worthy of it all. To strive to be honorable and lead to honor. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.